اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة محمدا وسيلة فضيلة بعث اللهم مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. اللهم first I'd like to apologize for being late. We had an emergency in the hospital, so please forgive me. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين. أمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We continue إن شاء الله on the events of the Khilafah of Ali رضي الله عنه. And the last session we started going into depth with the conflict between Ali radiallahu an and Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, and we saw how the two forces of Ali, Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu an, and Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan faced on the plains of Siffin in northern Syria today, and how the battle of Siffin events went on, and major massacre between the Muslims, and how about 70,000 to 90,000 in some scholars of the Muslims were killed in that battle. The events of the battle went militarily to the advantage of the army of Ali, Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu, and on the day of Siffin, the army of Muawiyah was but defeated, was nothing but defeated in the final hours of the battle, where Amr ibn al-As advised Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan to lift the Musahif, to lift the Qur'an on the spears, to split the will of the army of Ali and to call upon them to make the judgment and ruling over the conflict for the Qur'an. And we saw how Ali radiallahu anhu did not want that, and he knew that this was a trick to divide the army, to split the army, and to buy time from the army and the people of Muawiyah to regroup or to come up with different solutions. However, what happened inside the army of Ali radiallahu anhu is exactly what Amr ibn al-As predicted and expected, is the army split. And it split actually for about three separate divisions. The first one did not want to go for this trick, did not want to stop the fighting, and that was Ali radiallahu anhu and the people around him. The second part wanted to accept this tahkim, wanted to accept this judgment, and wanted to have this truce until the judges rule to what is to happen between Ali and Muawiyah. The third group thought that Ali and the people that accepted the tahkim are both wrong for accepting these the truths and accepting to stop the fighting and to give the judgment to the two people chosen, who are Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and Amr ibn al-As. And we went in details over the text of the treaty signed between Ali radiallahu anhu and Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, of that the two judges will meet in Ramadan in a place called Dumit al-Jandal, which is right here in southern Jordan today. It's east of the Jordan River, and it's in northern Arabia. And the two judges are to meet, you know, these events were in Safar. So there is time between Safar and Ramadan, and the time was to allow more thinking, allow more arbitration between the two parties, and to let the judgment of the Qur'an rule. But what happened immediately, as al-Tabari said, as Muawiyah returned to al-Kufa from Siffin, that the army, as his army was returning from Siffin, which is in northern Syria, down to Al-Kufa, The blood was boiling in the army of Ali. This conflict that started, this disagreement between these three parties, was growing larger and larger and larger. And what came about when they reached to Al-Kufa is a group of the army of Ali kharajat. A group left the army, the camp of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And those people that Al-Khuruj in Arabic means leaving. So those who left were called, for the very first time in Islamic history this happened, is called Al-Khawarij. Those who left the camp of Ali. And the way they did that is their elite and their the people that were their chiefs, they said, لا حكم إلا لله. There is no ruling but to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How come Ali is allowing those people to make ruling in something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained, which is Al-Khilafah, which is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is clear from Allah, and people should not give judgment in a matter of deen. People should not give judgment except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who has the authority to give judgment. So Ali heard that, and he said his famous word, كَلِمَةُ حَقْ يُرَادُ بِهَا بَاطِلٌ. This is a true word. There is no judgment, there is no ruling but to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what is intended by this, the understanding behind that word, is actually untrue. It's unjust. And those people decided to leave the camp of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and they went into a place called Harura. And in the history books and in some of the tafsir book, you will read the word Al-Haruriyya. Al-Haruriyya is from this particular place, and that is basically Al-Khawarij, those people who left the camp of Ali. Now this haraka, this movement of Al-Khawarij, is something that is prophesized and predicted by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we move from the reference of At-Tabari to a very precious book in our Islamic history and religion called Talbisu Iblis, and it's written by Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah. He said, Al-Khawarij started on the day of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Narrated on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudari, radiallahu anhu, he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the spoils from one of the battles, and he was dividing it between among his sahaba. And a man came to him, and his name was Dhul Khuwaisra. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his exalted station, and he said in one narration, he said, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Fear Allah, ya Rasulullah, in the way you're dividing this. And in another narration, he said, اعدل يا رسول الله. Be fair, يا رسول الله. So the Sahaba and Abi Sa'id al-Khudri said, he's the face of Rasulullah. They knew the face, the anger would show in the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he's angry. He said, ويحك. من يعدل إن لم أعدل. Who's gonna be fair if I'm not gonna be fair? I mean, there's nobody more fair than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Khalid ibn al-Walid jumped up and he said, يا رسول الله, ألا أضرب عنقه. Let me cut his head. This is, he's not, I mean, how he dare to say something like this to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, do not do it. فَلَعَلَّهُ يَكُونُ يُصَلِّي. Maybe he pray to Allah, maybe he's one of the people that make a salah. And then Khalid said, رُبَّ مُصَلَّمْ يَقُولُ بِلِسَانِهِ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِهِ. Maybe he is somebody who makes salah, but he says by his tongue something that is not in his heart. Then maybe his heart is a heart of a kafir. And now when he's saying these words to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's showing his kufr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنِّي لَمْ أُؤْمَرْ أَنْ أُنَقِّبَ عَنْ قُلُوبِ النَّاسِ وَلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ بُطُونَهُمْ. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I was not given an order from Allah to look into the hearts of people. Allah, as Muslims, we take on what is on the surface, what people say, and we don't just their intentions. We know the famous incident of Usama bin Zayd when he killed a man during a battle. He was with the mushrikeen, and when it's time for Usama to get to him and defeated him and about to kill him, the man said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah." Usama cut his neck. He said he's saying that only to save his neck from death. And then he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked to heaven and said, Allahumma inni abra'u ilayka mimma fa'ala Usama. Allahumma, I'm exonerated, I'm innocent from what Usama did. And Usama said, I wished I became a Muslim only that day, so Allah would give me repentance, I would give forgiveness for my deeds. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we digressed a little bit, but he said, we're not ordered to look in the hearts of people. We have to take their actions. And then he looked at this man, Dhul Khuwaisara, and he said, إِنَّهُ سَيَخْرُجُ مِنْ ضِئْضِئِ هَذَا قَوْمٌ يَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنَ لَا يُجَاوِزُ حَنَاجِرَهُمْ. He said, from the neighborhood of this man, from this people of this man, there will come men, group of people that will read the Qur'an, but it will not go past their throats. That means the Qur'an will only touch their throats, but it never gets to their hearts, and never gets into their intellect. They don't do the tadbir in Qur'an, they don't understand the Qur'an. يَمْرُقُونَ مِنَ الدِّينِ كَمَا يَمْرُقُ السَّحْمُ مِنَ الرَّمْيَ. He said, they'll pass through the religion like the arrow passes through the prey. Now the arrow goes from one side to the, let's say the gazelle to the other side, but it doesn't get any of the meat. It just goes through that. And he said, these people, this is how much they will get out of this religion, like the arrow goes through the prey. So that was the first of Al-Khawarij. But when they went out to Harura, they said that Ali ibn Abi Talib kafir. Ali ibn Abi Talib is a kafir. Why is he a kafir? Because he acknowledged the tahkim, he accepted the tahkim for people of Amr ibn al-As and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, and there is no tahkim except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they had an imam, and they had a leader of the army. Their leader of the army was Shabath ibn Rub'i. Now Shabath ibn Rub'i is the one that every time he goes in arbitration to Muawiyah makes him angry. We said we're going to mention this man again. The man that is always rude to Muawiyah, he is one of the Khawarij. He went out with these people of Al-Khawarij. And they had an imam who was Abdullah ibn al-Kuwa al-Yashkuri. And they went out to Harura, and there was 12,000 of them into that place of Harura. There was now a problem. Now, most of these people are people of Iraq. Most of these Khawarij are people of Iraq. They have tribes to support them. Only their numbers about 12,000, but there are many important tribes. And now the army of Ali ibn Abi Talib is coming back exhausted from battle, and here is that major division. Ali ibn Abi Talib said, let's leave them alone. Let's let them think about this and give them some respite. Abdullah ibn Abbas said to Ali ibn Abi Talib, let me go and negotiate with them. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu said to Abdullah ibn Abbas, go, but wait until I come to you, and then we will negotiate and we will talk. Let's listen to them and let's try to convince them to come back into the right path. And the other Sahaba, some of the people with the army of Ali, advised Ali to fight them, because if the split started with that, then it will go on, and more people can join him, and it will be a major weakness on the part of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said, "دعوهم فإني لا أقاتلهم حتى يقاتلوني وسوف يفعلون." He said, "Leave them alone. I will not fight them until they fight me, but they will do it." So, narrated on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, I wore the best of my clothes. حُلَّةً مِنْ أَحْسَنِ مَا يَكُونَ مِنَ الْيَمَنِ. The best garment I have. It's a Yemeni garment. وَتَرَجَّلْتْ. I put some طيب. I put some good smell perfume on me. And I went on them. He was a man of Haida. He was one of the elite of Bani Hashim, and we know Al-Abbas and his son, they're presentable people. I mean, so he went and said, I went on them نصف النهار فدخلت على قوم لم أرى أشد منهم اجتهادا جباههم قرح من السجود. He said, I went to them and I saw people who are so indulging in worship, and their foreheads are filled with sore from sujood, from prostration. And aydihim wa ka'annaha thufun al-ibl. Their hands from the sujood, from the prolonging of sujood, it's so sore and so crusty and it's so thick. from this sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَلَيْهِمْ قُمُسًا مُرَخَّصًا مُشَمِّرِينَ مُسْهِمَةٌ وُجُوهُهُمْ مِنَ السَّهَرِ. Their eyes are so tired from staying all night praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they will recite the Qur'an, they will do everything like they are the best of the worshippers, but it doesn't go into their hearts. فَسَلَّمْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ فَقَالُوا مَرْحَمَا بِمْنَ عَبَّاسِ. So I gave him salam and they welcomed me. They said, مَا جَاءَ بِكْ. What brought you here? He said, أَتَيْتُكُمْ مِنْ عِنْدِ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. See the intelligence and the intellect of Abdullah ibn Abbas. He said, they are none of them is from the Sahaba. And they're claiming they know more about this deen than the Sahaba. They know more about the tahkim than Ali ibn Abi Talib and Abdullah ibn Abbas and all the Sahaba that were with them. So he said, I came to you from al-Muhajirin al-Ansar. He reminded them that this group that you're claiming that they are kuffar, they are the people of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمِنْ عِنْدِ صِحْرِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And from the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَعَلَيْهِمْ نَزَلَ الْقُرْآنِ. On them the Qur'an was revealed and descended. Because they are the ones that were with these ayahs. They understand, they know the interpretation of this Qur'an more than you do, is what trying to tell them. وَهُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِتَأْوِيلِهِ مِنْكُمْ. They understand more about the Qur'an than you do. He's trying to tell them, even if your intentions are good, believe me, those people that you're attacking and then telling that they're kuffar, they know more about this Qur'an than you do. So, people said, لَا تُخَاصِمُوا قُرَيْشًا فَإِنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ خَصِمُونَ. They always bring ayahs of the Qur'an to justify their position. They said, don't argue with Quraysh, because Quraysh are people of argument. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the kuffar of Quraysh. But he didn't say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this about Ali radiallahu anhu and Abdullah ibn Abbas. So, Abdullah ibn Abbas said, tell me what angered you with Ali ibn Abi Talib. They said three things. Three things that we are angry with Ali ibn Abi Talib with. He said, هاتوا. They said, إحداهن أنه حكم الرجال في أمر الله. He made people, men, judges in matters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والله سبحانه وتعالى said, إن الحكم إلا لله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the judgment, the ruling is only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, this is one. What is the second thing? He said, الثانية فإنه قاتل وقتل ولم يسبي ولم يغنم. They said, he fought other people and he killed them. He killed people in the battle of Al-Jamal and he killed people in the battle of Safin. But he did not take any looting. He did not take any spoils out of the battlefield. فَإِنْ كَانُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. If they are, the people we're fighting, they are believers. فَلِمَا يَحَلَّ لَنَا قِتَالُهُمْ وَلَمْ يَحِلَّ لَنَا سَبْيُهُمْ. Why is it halal to kill these people, but it's not halal to take their money? How come that? So Ali is wrong. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, وَمَا الثَّالِثَ. What is the third one? They said, فَإِنَّهُ مَحَى عَنْ نَفْسِهِ أَمِيرًا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ أَمِيرًا لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِنَّهُ أَمِيرٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. He said, when the contract of al-tahkim is being written, Ali allowed the word Amir al-Mu'mineen to be erased from the contract. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Treaty of Silim is you trying to give as much as possible to achieve the peace. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam erased his name Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. We'll come to that. He said, هَلْ عِنْدَكُمْ غَيْرُ هَذَا. Do you have anything else? They said, no. That's it. كَفَانَ هَذَا. He said, let me explain to you. أَمَّا قَوْلُكُمْ حَكَّمَ الرِّجَالَ فِي أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Would you say that he gave judgment to people in the matter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَأَوْ will recite something in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that would contradict what you're saying. They said, what is it? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا تَقْتُلُوا الصَّيْدَ وَأَنْتُمْ حُرُمْ وَمَنْ قَتَلَهُ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاءُ مَا قَتَلَ مِنَ النِّعَمْ مِنَ النِّعَمِ يَحْكُمُ بِهِ ذَوَى عَدْلٍ مِّنْكُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another ayah, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا فَبْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. So he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the sayd, if you hunt during ihram, that you bring two people of a good reputation and justice, and let them be the judges in what the penalty should be. And then in another thing, if there is a conflict, domestic conflict, and within the family, Then Allah said, bring a judge from this side and a judge from that side. He said, تَنَاشَدْتُكُمْ بِاللَّهِ هَلْ تَعْلَمُونَ حُكْمَ الرِّجَالِ فِي إِصْلَاحِ ذَاتِ بَيْنِهِمْ وَفِي حَقْنِ دِمَائِهِمْ أَفْضَلْ أَمْ فِي أَرْنَبٍ وَبِضْعِ امْرَأَةٍ. He said, what do you think? Is it more important to make people judges in trying to stop the bloodshed among Muslims, or in the price of rabbits that they hunted during Ihram or a conflict within the family? Of course, the blood of Muslims is more important. They said, no, this is more important. He said, خَرَجْتُ مِنْ هَذَا. Are you satisfied with this one? They said, no. Yes, we'll let you this. He said, أَمَّا قَوْلُكُمْ. But the second thing, that he fought and he killed people, but he didn't take their money. أَفَتَسْبُونَ أُمَّكُمْ عَائِشَةً. Do you want to take Aisha radiallahu anha in your spoils as a spoil of war? وَاللَّهِ لَإِنْ قُلْتُمْ لَنَسْبِيَنَّهَا وَنَسْتَحِلُّ مِنْهَا مَا نَسْتَحِلُّ مِنْ غَيْرِهَا فَقَدْ خَرَجْتُمْ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ. If you say yes, you are not a Muslim. This is Umm al-Mu'mineen. So, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ. How can you take your mother as a prisoner? أَخَرَجْتُ مِنْ هَذَا. He's trying to tell them, these are, although there is a conflict and we are fighting them as الفئة الباغية, the people that made baghi, they made transgression upon us, but we cannot take the loot from them and we cannot take prisoners as slaves. It is not allowable. And the scholar says, if it's not for the conflict at the time of Ali, the ahkam, the ruling of baghi, wouldn't be known. That you can fight the transgressor among Muslims, you cannot take their money. And you cannot take the people as servants or slaves. He said, أَخَرَجْتُ مِنْ هَذَا. Are you satisfied with my answer? They said, نعم. He said, the third one, that he erased the name of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the day of Hudaybiyah, erased the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon themselves. So which is more important? Rasulullah or Amir al-Mu'mineen? Of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more important. أَخَرَجْتُ مِنْ هَذَا. They said, yes. So 2,000 of them came back with Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu an. And the rest of them, they said no. This tahkim is not right, because the tahkim in this matter it's not comparable to the tahkim during As-Sayd or during the Ihram, and they insisted and became stubborn on their position. Ali ibn Abi Talib negotiated with them. And he said, لَمْ نُحَكِّمِ الرِّجَالِ وَإِنَّمَا حَكَّمْنَا الْقُرْآنِ. He said, I didn't make people judges in the way of Allah. I made the Qur'an. These people in the contract of tahkim, they have to make the ruling by the Qur'an. And it's not by the position that they think is right. اِدْخُلُوا مِصْرَكُمْ يَرْحَمْكُمُ اللَّهِ. So the rest of them decided to go in and give Ali time. And that time, their condition is to go for him to go back and fight Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, and not to accept this tahkim. Some of them wanted to wait and see what this tahkim is going to be about. So in Ramadan, in Dunat al-Jandal, as it was decided, the delegation of Muawiyah led by Amr ibn al-As, and the delegation of Ali radiallahu anh, led by Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, met in Ramadan on 37 year after Hijrah in the place of Dumat al-Jandal. That meeting was witnessed by Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhuma, Abdullah ibn Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhuma, Abdul Rahman ibn Harith ibn Hisham, and Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah. So there were people from the clan of Muawiyah, from Umayyah, there were people from clan of Hashim, and there were people from the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. This tahkim, there's a lot of myth and there is a lot of weak narration about what happened during the tahkim that needs to be also cleared in our minds, and we have to take the strongest narration. The most famous story is the story of the ring. As I take my friend, like I would throw my ring, and the other one said, I will keep my ring in. And this is the weakest of any of these narrations. And it shows Abu Musa al-Ash'ari as if he was very naive and as if he was not a good representative of Ali radiallahu anhu. But the real story that is most authenticated and is narrated in the books of history goes as follows. Amr ibn al-As met with Abu Musa al-Ash'ari in Dumit al-Jandal. Amr ibn al-As, his loyalty is to Muawiyah. And he wants Muawiyah to become the victorious in this tahkim, without a doubt. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari wants this fitna to be over. We remember how when Ali came to al-Kufa to ask help from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari asked the people of Kufa not to give help and not to support the army of Ali and to stay away from this whole tribulation, from this whole fitna. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari's heart was with stopping this bloodshed at any condition, at any price, no matter what happens, this has to stop. So we see they came from very two different point of view. One of them is representing Muawiyah strongly, and the other one is just wants this, for this fitna to be over. Amr started talking and he said, أَلَسْتَ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ عُثْمَانَ قُتِلَ مَظْلُومًا? Don't you know that Uthman was killed in transgression? Abu Musa said, أَشْهَدْ. Yes, Abu Uthman was killed and he was oppressed. And then Amr said, أَلَسْتَ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مُعَاوِيَةَ وَآلَ مُعَاوِيَةَ أَوْلِيَاءُ? Don't you know that the family of Muawiyah and Muawiyah are the responsible party for this murder, to retaliate for this? Abu Musa said, بَلَى. Yes, this is true. Amr said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ وَمَنْ قُتِلَ مَظْلُومًا فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا فَلَا يُسْرِفْ فِي الْقَتْلِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ مَنْصُورًا. Said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the wali, the one who's responsible for the family of the dead, has the authority. And that is the authority of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. فَمَا يَمْنَعُكَ مِنْ مُعَاوِيَ وَلِيُّ عُثْمَانِ يَا أَبَا مُوسَى وَبَيْتُهُ فِي قُرَيْشٍ كَمَا عَلِمْتُ فَإِنْ تَخَوَّفْتَ أَنْ يَقُولَ النَّاسُ وَلِيَ مُعَاوِيَ وَلَيْسَتْ لَهُ سَابِقًا. He said, why don't you come to us, join us? And you know Muawiyah is the responsible party for this retaliation. But if you're afraid that people will say Muawiyah is not from as-sabiqoon, not from the elite of the Sahaba, but you have an excuse. تقول أني وجدته ولي عثمان الخليفة المظلوم والطالب بدمه الحسن السياسة الحسن التدبير وهو أخو أم حبيبة زوج رسول الله وهو كاتب الوحي وهو أحد الصحابة. He is trying to give Abu Musa excuses to join the camp of Muawiyah. He's trying to pull Abu Musa to the camp of Muawiyah. He said, if people tell you that Muawiyah is not one of the forefront of the Sahaba, then you have many excuses. Muawiyah is the one responsible to get the retaliation for Uthman. And the other thing, he is one of the writers of Al-Wahi. He's one of the writers of Al-Quran. And the third thing, he is the brother of Habiba, al-Mu'mineen, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is one of the Sahaba, though he was not of the Muhajireen, but he still is one of the Sahaba. And then he said, إِنْ وَلِيَ أَكْرَمَكَ كَرَامَةً لَمْ يُكْرِمُهَا خَلِيفَةً. He said, and if Muawiyah became a Khalifa, he will take care of you. He will give you a lot of honor that no Khalifa has given before. He's trying to bribe Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, basically. Abu Musa said, يَا عَمْرُ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ. Oh, عَمْرُ, fear Allah. فَأَمَّا مَا ذَكَرْتَ مِنْ شَرَفِ مُعَاوِيَةَ فَإِنَّ هَذَا لَيْسَ عَلَى الشَّرَفِ وَلَّا أَهْلُهُ. The honor of Muawiyah is not enough for him to become a Khalifa. Yes, we don't deny that he's one of the writers of the Wahi and he's the brother of Habiba. But that's not, this is are not qualifications for him to become a Khalifa. وَلَوْ كَانَ عَلَى الشَّرَفِ لَكَانَ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ لِآلِ أَبْرَهَ بْنُ الصَّبَاحِ. He said, if it's about honor and elite and richness and how wealthy people, he mentioned the man who had honor and he said, then the family of that person should be Khalifa. إِنَّمَا هُوَ لِأَهْلِ الدِّينِ وَالْفَضُلِ. He said, this matter of Khilafah is for people of religion and Fadl is the forefront in Islam. وَلَوْ أَنِّي كُنْتُ مُعْطِيهِ أَفْضَلَ قُرَيْشِ أَعْطَيْتُهُ عَلِيَّ بْنَ أَبِي طَالِبٍ. He said, but the best person who's qualified to take this khilafah in Quraysh is Ali ibn Abi Talib. أَمَّا قَوْلُكَ فَإِنَّ مُعَاوِيَ وَلِيُّ دَمْ عُثْمَانِ فَوَاللَّهِ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ لَمْ أَكُنْ لِأُوَلِّيهِ مُعَاوِيَ وأدع المهاجرين الأولين. He said, yes, he can be, فوله هذا الأمر. He can be the responsible party for the blood of Uthman. But the matter of khilafah is only for those muhajirin al-awwaleen, those who made hijrah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as long as they are available, as long as they're alive. وَأَمَّا تَعْرِيدُكَ لِي بِالسُّلْطَانِ, and your offer for me for power and this honor, فَوَاللَّهِ لَوْ خَرَجَ لِي مِن سُلْطَانِهِ كُلِّهِ مَا وَلَيْتُ. He said, if he give me his entire sultan, his entire power, his entire kingdom, I will not give him. وَمَا كُنْتُ لِأَرْتَشِي فِي حُكْمِ اللَّهِ, I wouldn't be take bribe in the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Amr said, what do you see? What can we do? He said, إِن شِئْتَ أَحْيَيْنَا اسْمَا عُمَرْ بْنَ الْخَطَّابِ. If you will, we revive the name of Umar ibn al-Khattab. He said, how? He said, we make Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab Khalifa. We choose Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab to become a Khalifa, and that way, both of them, they don't, we take of them out. Amr said, well, if you like, if كنت تحب بيعة ابن عمر, فما يمنعك من ابني, وأنت تعرف فضله وصلاحه. He said, well, if you want one, a good righteous man for this khilafah, and Abdullah ibn Umar is one, what do you think about my son? Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, who is really a righteous man, he's one of the Abadila, as we said. He said, إِنَّ ابْنَكَ رَجُلْ وَلَكِنْ قَدْ غَمَسْتُهُ فِي هَذِهِ الْفِتْنَةِ. He said, your son is a righteous man, but you brought him into this fitna. And the story of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As is he wanted to not go with his father. But then he remembered the hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directed to him directly to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As when he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for advice. He said, Ya Rasulullah, awsini. Give me an advice. He looked at him, he said, La ta'asi abak. Don't disobey your father. And that was the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Abdullah ibn Amr. And Abdullah ibn Amr asked his father permission to leave his army. He didn't want to go with him and fight Ali. And Amr ibn al-As said, no. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you obey me and I want you to stay with me in this. And he was with his father, but he was kareh. He didn't like that. So, in Al-Tabari, this is all narrated from Al-Tabari. So the agreement was to basically ask both to step down. Ali ibn Abi Talib stepped down from the Khilafah, and Muawiyah relinquished his claim for Khilafah, and let the Muslims decide on a Khalifa. Let the matter to be Shura among Muslims, and let the peace happen on a different Khalifa. And that was the end of this tahkim. That was what the final resolution in this tahkim was. When they finished this tahkim, Amr ibn al-As went back to the camp of Muawiyah, but Abu Musa al-Ash'ari did not want to go back to Ali, and he just announced that Ali is not a Khalifa anymore. He just announced that Ali is not a Khalifa and we should have a new Khalifa. So he was ashamed. He was embarrassed to see Ali and he didn't go back to him. And he went in isolation and he didn't want to go back to the camp of Ali. And if you look at the results of this tahkim, Ali is already a Khalifa. Ali is already Amir al-Mu'mineen. And when they asked both of them to step down, that doesn't hurt Muawiyah, because Muawiyah in reality is not a Khalifa. And the only Khalifa who's acknowledged by the Muslims is Ali ibn Abi Talib. So the end results of this tahkim actually helps Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, and it doesn't really add anything to the matter of Ali. The second thing that this tahkim does is it really no agreement. There still is no agreement. I mean, who is the Khalifa now? They end up with the worst situation, at least before they were a Khalifa and somebody who's claiming the Khilafah. But at the end of the tahkim, they decided there is no Khalifa for the Muslims. And we see what happens to the Muslims when there is no Khalifa. It's a bad situation. So Ali, when he heard the results of the tahkim, he did not accept it. He said, wallahi, they didn't do anything. They only made matters worse. There's still no agreement. And they were to agree to a ruling based on the Qur'an. I mean, the tahkim was for the Qur'an, and there is nothing in this whole discussion that relates to any ruling in the Qur'an al-Kareem. So it is not based on Quran and it's not based on Sunnah. It is an ijtihad. It is a new thing that they made ijtihad, both of them, to end this fitna. And that's not what the contract of al-Tahkim says. The contract of Tahkim says they have to bring a ruling from the Quran. And that's what Ali radiallahu anhu agreed to. So the whole results of the Tahkim was not accepted by Ali radiallahu anhu, and he gave a speech in Al-Kufa. And he said, والله الحمد لله وإن أتى الدهر بالخطب الفاتح والحدثان الجليل وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله فإن المعصية تورث الحسرة وتعقب الندم وقد كنت أمرتكم في هذين الرجلين وفي هذه الحكومة أمري ونحلتكم رأيي لو كان لقصير أمر ولكن أبيتم إلا ما أردتم فكننت أنا وأنتم كما قال أخو هوازن أمرتهم أمري بمنعرج اللوى فلم يستبين الرشد إلا ضحى الغدي. He said, I told you in summary, he said, I gave you my advice about this tahkim. I gave you my advice about what you should do about these two people and you refused. He said, Ali ibn Abi Talib did not want this whole situation. He said, keep on fighting. This is only but a trick. He did not want this tahkim. He said, but you didn't listen to me. And here we are. ألا إن هذين الرجلين الذين اخترتوهما. Those two people that you chose. Because we know Ali also, when he accepted finally with the tahkim, he didn't want Abu Musa al-Ash'ari to represent him. He wanted Abdullah ibn Abbas. He said, those people that you chose, قد نبذا القرآن وراء ظهورهما. They left the Quran aside. When they were doing this tahkim, they were not basing anything on the Quran. They were making ijtihad. وأحيا ما أمات القرآن واتبع كل منهما هواه بغير هدى من الله. He said they only followed their desires. They followed what they thought was the right thing. Because Abu Musa wanted just to end this, and Amr ibn al-As wanted to khali' Ali. He wanted to make Ali step down as a Khalifa. So that's a step forward for Muawiyah. So said these two people did not do the ruling by the Quran. واختلفا في حكمهما وكلامهما. And said there was a conflict, because at the end Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, he was told, well, you are ruling for Muawiyah, and Abu Musa said, wallahi I did not. Amr ibn al-As said, I did not let Muawiyah down, so there is no conflict. And if we go back to the initial contract, the condition of the contract that they both have to agree on the final resolution. He said, استعدوا وتأهبوا للمسير إلى الشام وأصبحوا في معسكركم إن شاء الله. He said, get ready to go to Al-Sham. Get ready as an army to go back to Al-Sham and let's finish this like we are about to do in Siffin, and let's fight this army of Muawiyah. Then here comes the Khawarij. Here comes those 12,000 that came out from the camp of Ali radiallahu anhu. He said, أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تَغْضَبْ لِرَبِّكْ وَلَكِنْ غَضِبْتَ لِنَفْسِكَ. He said, now you're angry. Now you want us to go fighting because you're angry for yourself. Because you're angry because they said you don't want to, you're not going to be a khalifa anymore. And it is not anger for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنْ شَهِدْتَ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ بِالْكُفْرِ وَاسْتَقْبَلْتَ التَّوْبَةَ نَظَرْنَا فِي أَمْرِكَ. Said, if you gave testimony, witness that you are a kafir, and then you repent and declare Islam again, then we will see what we will do with you. وَإِلَّا فَقَدْ نَابَدْنَاكَ عَلَى سَوَاءٍ. Or else we have war with you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْخَائِنِينَ. They always bring an ayah from the Quran to support their position. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like al-khainin. Ali ibn Abi Talib said, you leave this camp, you go on your own, and he did not want to fight them. He sent to al-Basra, to the second most important military concentration for Ali. And in al-Basra there were 60,000 fighters that went out with him to Siffin. And only of those 60,000, with this propaganda of Khawarij and this conflict and this tahkim and this delay, only 3,000 came to Ali. So his army is now shrinking in unbelievable proportions. So only 3,200 people came from al-Basra to Ali. So Ali started getting his army ready, and he wanted to go from the people with Al-Kufa and as little as he can get from Al-Basra, and he prepared 40,000 fighters and 17,000 of the children, the young people, and 8,000 of al-mawali, of the servants. He tried to get as much as he can for as long as he can. Excuse me, just one second. So, Ali ibn Abi Talib started gathering an army to march to Asham and to continue the fighting and the struggle against Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. What happened during that time is al-Basra army, as we said, did not support Ali radiallahu anhu, but the Kufa army responded, and he gathered about 68,000 fighters. In the initial battle of Suffin, how many did he get? He had about 120. So he can only get about half of what he had in Suffin. And he started getting the army to march to Asham and to continue the struggle against Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. What happened as the army started camping and getting ready outside Al-Kufa is Al-Khawarij started making chaos and just spreading their crimes around the Kufa. They went to a bustan, into an orchard by the Sahabi of Abdullah ibn Khabbab ibn al-Arat. Khabbab ibn al-Arat is a very well-known Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His son Abdullah is also a Sahabi. And those people started going into his orchard. And they found him, and they found Abdullah ibn Khabbab ibn al-Arat. And they sat down with him and they said, "What do you say of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq?" He said, "Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is a good Khalifa and he is blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger." They said, "So what do you say of Umar?" He said, "Umar is a good Khalifa and he is a good Sahabi and may Allah bless him and his Khilafah." And they said, "What do you think of Uthman in the beginning of his Khilafah?" And they said, "Uthman was good in the beginning of his Khilafah." They said, "What do you think of Uthman at the end of his Khilafah?" He said, "Uthman was good at the end of his Khilafah." And they said, "What do you say of Ali before Tahkim, before this judgment?" He said, "Ali was good before Tahkim." And they said, "What do you say about Ali after Tahkim?" He said, "Ali was good after Tahkim." "Wallahi huwa a'lamu billahi minkum wa ashaddu tawaqqiyan li dinihi wa anfadha basira." He said, "Wallahi, he knows more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than you, and he knows more about the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." They said, "Wallahi, innaka latashhadu bilhawa wa tufaddil al-rijal ala asma'iha la ala af'aliha." He said, "You follow your desires, and you prefer people with their names, and not with what they do." "Wallahi, lanaqtulannaka qatlatan ma qatalnaha ahadin qat." He said, "Wallahi, we will kill you in a way that we never killed anybody before." And he had his wife with him in that orchard and she was pregnant. So they drag Abdullah ibn Khabbab ibn al-Arat to a place and they slaughter him and they bring his wife and they kill her and they take her baby out of her belly and they kill the baby, the infant. And they say, "La hukma illa lillah." There is no judgment but to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As they go in out of the orchard, a man sees a date on the ground, and he takes it and he puts it in his mouth and he eats it. And his companions that just killed Abdullah ibn Khabbab, they said, "This is haram. You have no permission to eat this date." This is the way that they were thinking. This is how the Khawarij were thinking. So that came to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Inshallah, we will conclude in a few minutes. And they said, the people that were ready, the 68,000 people that were ready to march to Asham, they said, "You want us to leave Al-Iraq, to leave our families with these people doing what they're doing? They're in our back, they're going to stay around, kill our children, kill our wives, kill our..." And they say that we are your supporters, we have to deal with them first. And Ali ibn Abi Talib, then he moves on with his army that he prepared initially to go to Muawiyah, and he goes to a place called Al-Nahrawan. A place in Al-Iraq called Al-Nahrawan, and he asked Al-Khawarij to bring the killers of Abdullah ibn Khabbab ibn Al-Arat to give him, to submit him to the punishment of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And the Khawarij refused to do that. They refused to submit to the punishment. And he said, who killed Abdullah ibn Khabbab? They said, all of us did. All of us killed Abdullah ibn Khabbab ibn al-Arat. Then Ali ibn Abi Talib started fighting them. And that battle that fought between Ali radiallahu anhu and al-Khawarij is called the Battle of al-Nahrawan, Mawqi'at al-Nahrawan. And in that Battle of al-Nahrawan, the entire group of the Khawarij that were in that particular place was completely wiped out. And it was a tremendous victory to Ali radiallahu anhu. Some of them escaped. Some of them were not in this Battle of al-Nahrawan, as we will say. So most of the Khawarij that went from the camp of Ali were wiped out during this Battle of al-Nahrawan, but a small group survives, and that small group, we will see, will play a major role of how events transpire for the rest of the Khilafah of Ali radiallahu anhu. So inshallah, we will stop at this point. There is 5 minutes for Sunnah, inshallah, and getting ready for Salat al-Isha. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in this month of Ramadan, and to ask and to be of the people that take the benefit of the nafahat of Ramadan, the month of the Quran, the month of ar-Rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shahrun awwaluhu maghfirah, wa awsatuhu mar'ahmah, wa akhiruhu 'itqun minan nar. In the beginning of this month, and we are in it, inshallah, there is forgiveness, there is pardon from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the middle of the month, there is mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the end, there is pardon from the hellfire. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pardon us all from the hellfire and the torment of the hellfire, and to make us of those who benefit from this blessed month of Ramadan. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Adhan al-Isha has been